Welcome to Revival for Mission. Our topic today, the transforming power of the Word of God. The Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But unless we open the Word, unless we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in the Word, we will walk in darkness. So learning how to hear the Word of God and allow His Word to transform us is our topic today as we are revived for mission. The Bible is a remarkable book. Lives are transformed when we read the Word of God. Amen. Pastor Wilson, I know the Bible's been an important part of your journey, even from childhood. Share your testimony with us.
You know, the Bible has always been around in our home. My parents had Bibles. I was given a Bible, etc. But, you know, the Bible really didn't take on true meaning to me until I was in some special classes that helped to focus upon Christian living and developing your character. And I suppose it was around fifth grade, sixth grade.
10, 11, 12, somewhere in there.
And you begin to understand that, well, there is this body of work. I'm not really familiar with it, but I'm learning a little bit and I'm getting into it. I think it's so important, even at a very young age, even younger than fifth, sixth grade, to be able to, you need to read, of course, but I mean, even simple things, begin to understand that the Word is a beautiful light to our path, and it's something that helps us to understand life.
Some people say, well, I tried reading the Bible. I didn't get anything out of it. Is there an important preparation before I begin reading?
Well, I mean, you never should open the Bible before praying. That's for sure. And there's really nothing to prepare you for the Word of God except jumping into it after prayer. The Lord will speak to you in a powerful way.
We've got an amazing testimony of someone who actually came and just started reading the Word and it came alive. But before we hear that testimony, why don't you share a spiritual thought with us?
Friends, the Bible is in many ways no ordinary book. In addition to being the inspired Word of God that gives instruction, reproof, encouragement, prophecy, promises, and more, here are a few more interesting facts to consider about this timeless, continually relevant God-given book. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. According to Guinness World Records, at least 5 billion, that's billion, copies of the Bible have been sold and distributed since 1815. More than 100 million Bibles are printed every year. More than 2,100 languages have at least one book of the Bible in that language. YouVersion is a top downloaded Bible app for mobile devices, and it has over 100 million total downloads and counting. More than 66,000 people are using a Bible app at any given second, and 3 people share a Bible verse on their social network every second. The most shared Bible verse on the internet today is Isaiah 53, verse 5, which reads, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And perhaps this most shared verse gives us a glimpse into why the Bible is such an important book to so many people. Perhaps it is because there is a recognition that this book, the Bible, illustrates a deep, timeless truth, the truth that there is something, someone bigger than ourselves, someone who suffered so that we might be healed, someone who gave his life so that we might live. I invite you today to open your Bible, pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance, read from its precious pages, and discover what God has to say to you today.
My brother's unexpected death shocked me into changing my life. A friend of mine said, "Why don't you do a triathlon?" So I swam and rode and ran until I discovered life is more than just human strength. I race because my health matters. I believe because my faith matters. I'm Ed. I'm a Christian. I am an Ironman. And I've discovered my whole life matters.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Our guest today is passionate about the Word of God. The Word of God has transformed his life, and now God is using him to share the Word of God with others. Jim Howard, it's good to have you on Revival for Mission.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, you're holding a Bible, which isn't just kind of a prop. That is a powerful tool for you that God has used. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to hear your amazing testimony.
Well, currently, I live in Laurel, Maryland, and I'm working at the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. I have been a pastor for a number of years, and now I work in administrative role in pastoral ministry in Sabbath School and Personal Ministries as an associate director.
Now, Jim, your personal conversion, it's a bit complicated.
Yes.
It's an interesting story. I've heard it, and it's thrilling. But let's begin, and let's just hear from your own mouth now, your own experience. What kind of Christian family did you grow up in? What was the setting? Why would your conversion be so unique, as I've kind of indicated? I mean, let's start from the beginning.
Sure, yeah. Well, I was raised in a Christian home, a Seventh-day Adventist home, until I was 9 years old. And at the age of 9, we moved from Ohio to Missouri, and my parents just stopped taking us to church and stopped going to church. It was a little more complicated than that. There was a divorce involved and a lot of, you know, other aspects that I don't need to go into. But there was, suffice it to say, a lot of pain and difficulty in my parents' life. But they left when I was 9 years old. And so from my standpoint as a young boy, it was just, you know, what we did.
And how did that affect your life? I mean, here you're going to church, you're enjoying fellowship, and then all of a sudden you make this dramatic change to another place, and then there's no church home?
Yeah,
how did that react to
be honest,
in you?
To be honest, I didn't feel a great impact from it. Yeah. We were not super strong Christian family, although we did actively go to church. But, you know, growing up, I didn't really remember much of anything from those years. I remembered us singing around the campfire when we would meet with a church group. I remembered I had a Sabbath school teacher who had a seizure, and that was very memorable. And I remembered I had a Good News Bible that had those little sketches in it. And I remembered the one with Lazarus being raised from the grave. It was always fascinating to me. But other than that, I didn't really have any memory of my history. So, you know, growing up in that home, now after the age of 9, we just didn't talk about God at all. I would say there were probably two conversations that I can remember where during those formative years, I began to think a little bit about God. One was late at night. It was probably 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had some close friends that I would hang out with. And a couple of them didn't believe in God. And I remember us getting into a discussion about whether or not there was a God. And I said, well, yes. I mean, I was in some respects the resident Christian or one of them in this group because my parents had been, and I still considered myself Christian, but I didn't know a thing about the Bible. And that was something that really bothered me.
Can I just interject for a minute? Because the
the impressions, the influence that parents have on growing adolescents is enormous. So here you are, you remember a little bit, but then things just stop.
Yes.
I mean, in your experience now, because we're kind of jumping ahead, and I know we need to continue with the story, but you're working now with people trying to help them.
That's right.
As parents, as grandparents, as uncles and aunts, to be able to influence young minds. I mean, you contrast that with your experience. I mean, that's got to be a rich background, unfortunately.
Yes.
But it emphasizes the need for that.
Absolutely.
I don't know your reaction on that, and
Absolutely.
Then continue with the story.
No, it's true. And to be honest, you know, even though my parents left the church, even the background that we had up until 9 years old was instrumental in what would later become my conversion. And I'll come back to that when I get to that point. But, you know, had these just couple of conversations. And when I talked to my friends late at night, it was, you know, I believe there's a God because we're all essentially good people. That was my reasoning, which I now know from the Bible that's not true at all. But I was kind of ascribing the work of the Holy Spirit and my conscience to myself. Like, I thought we were all basically good because conscience is there and evident. It was the voice of Jesus, really, that had been speaking to me,
Amen.
And I didn't know it.
Amen.
And then there was another time with my older brother, who has just recently passed away, but had a very instrumental conversation with him. Also late at night, he was visiting for the holidays. He lived in Ohio, but he visited us in Missouri. And we got into a conversation, and he said that he felt that God would give everybody an opportunity, that no one would be lost for not having an opportunity to know him or to respond to him, that everyone would have an opportunity. And I remember looking at him saying, do you think that this is my opportunity? Like,
wow.
I was worried that at any point I might be beyond being able to be saved. And, you know, I was a teenager, so that quickly passed and I went on living my life, you know.
So it's going to take a miracle. I know you've got a lot to share, but something happened that really, I mean, there's some influences of the Holy Spirit that really turned your life around and pointed you strongly toward God.
Yes.
When did that happen?
And also, I mean, you were at the University of Missouri, and you were involved with normal secular partying and all this kind of thing. I mean, how does that all play in now to this conversion experience?
So my parents moved back to Ohio, and I stayed and went to the University of Missouri for a couple of years. I lived with four guys in a house, and you can imagine it was a partying place, you know, every weekend. And but I ended up having some strange things happen. I had a problem with my tonsils, and I had to have a tonsillectomy, and I had to have two knee surgeries all in the same semester. At the time, I'm wondering, why is all this happening to me? I can't work to pay my rent. I'm having to borrow money. My GPA is poor because I've not been focusing on school anyway, but now I've got these extra burdens. And my mother persuaded me to come back to Ohio. So I moved to Ohio and started going to Ohio State University. And while I was there, I was away from that environment, from all these friends that I grew up with. It was painful for me to leave, but now that I was away, you know, I was hanging out with my brother's friends. I didn't really have a lot of social network, and I began to just ask questions about a lot of things. And I had always been a little bit worried, as I mentioned, that somebody would question my Christianity and ask me something and that I wouldn't know how to respond because I didn't know anything that was in the Bible. So I had it always in my mind that at some point I want to read a little of the Bible just to know a little something to be able to answer people. So I wrote it down on my list. I've always been a list maker, you know, do your laundry, clean your room, read your Bible. I found that list after the fact. And so at the age of 22...
It's not a bad thing to do.
It's not a bad thing to do, no. I'm glad I did it in this case especially. But at the age of 22, in the basement of my parents' home, I opened the Bible.
Amen.
And it changed me. I can tell you that within 3 weeks, my life was totally turned around.
Unbelievable.
I read and read and read. I was studying for finals at The Ohio State University, and I couldn't focus on it because I was reading. People ask me, what did you read? I wish I could tell you. It wasn't like a specific verse where, you know, the clouds parted or something. I was reading in the New Testament. I remember reading a lot of the epistles of Paul. I read a sizable portion of the Gospels. But it was just this incredible impression that here were eternal realities. You know, people who are Christian forget sometimes that, like, in a secular environment, everything was so light and trite. You know, everything in my life was just about pleasure-seeking or whatever the case might be. And this was so seriously eternal. And I mean, it just, the Lord revealed to me so clearly that this book was true. And that's where I come back to my parents. The benefit I had was when I came to the Bible, I already believed it was going to be true because of the background that I had with my parents. And that made it so that I was open to receiving this. So really, there were two powerful things that I was impacted with. One was just eternal realities. I just couldn't believe it. I remember going up and sitting. My dad had rheumatoid arthritis. I sat across from his bed oftentimes and just talked to him. And I went upstairs after reading my Bible for a while, and I sat across from my dad and I said, "Dad, if this is all true, what are we all doing here? Like, nobody's talking about, nobody in my life is talking about this."
How do you react to that?
My dad, part of the reason I moved back to Ohio besides the school situation was my dad almost died. He had congestive heart failure and he had a bad experience. He had to go into emergency surgery while I was in Missouri. And after that happened, he had given all his children Bibles. He had felt bad about leaving the church, and he was sort of feeling like he should. So he had started reading his Bible as well. So we had a nice open conversation, and it was very, very good. But besides that, there's also just the fact that the Lord Jesus himself revealed himself to me.
Amen.
I didn't know that I needed a Savior. I wasn't like this guy who hit rock bottom, and now I need. But I had been seeking for approval you know, gaining the acceptance of my friends and just trying to find something. And I never really realized it until I began to read the Bible and the Lord Jesus made it very clear to me that he had been pursuing me my whole life.
Amen.
And that changed me. It totally altered the course of my life.
What about your friends? How did that go?
So my my best friend called home after a couple weeks of this, and my dad kind of clued him in. You know, he answered the phone and said, "Oh, have you heard about Jim? He's been, you know, reading it." And so when I got on the phone, the first words out of his mouth were, "So, I heard you found Jesus." It was in a very mocking sort of way. And I recognized that it was going to be a hard way to go with my friends. I already knew that. But I began to, you know, he was probably a little surprised that I kind of took a serious tone and talked to him about what was happening or whatever, because that was not me. You know, I would have been a sarcastic, you know, we would have gone a different direction. So making this decision in my life basically meant that my circle of social network was going to be different forever. My friends are still, you know, their approach was, "We're happy for you." But that meant that we were probably not going to be close anymore. And there was a specific situation. I also had friends when I moved to Ohio that were like my brother's friends. We would play softball and go to the sports bar and things like that. And I, a few weeks after I'd been studying my Bible, I realized that I had told that one of my friends that I was going to be going to his bachelor party. And I remember that was getting close, and I was really all of a sudden starting to have these internal struggles. And I went up and talked to my dad about it. I said, "Dad, does God really want me to give up drinking? Does he really want me to give up my life? I mean, if I do, I will lose everything. All of my friends, everybody I know. Does he really want me to do that? I'm not hurting anybody. Does he really want me?" And my dad looked at me and he said, "I think you're asking the wrong person." He knew that the Lord Jesus had put that on my heart, because he didn't do that to me. And I was, that wasn't the answer I wanted to hear. But my dad had on his TV tray right next to the bed, he had his Bible open, because he had been recently reading along with me. And I didn't
Maybe
mention
because
a couple
of
my brothers in part. And I took his Bible off his tray to just see what he had been reading. And he had it open in Galatians chapter 5. Now, Galatians chapter 5 is a fairly well-known passage for Christians because it's got the fruit of the Spirit in it. But it also has the works of the flesh. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where my eye went. And it went through this list of sins and talked about revelries and drunkenness. Mm-hmm. And he said, and those who practice such things, I tell you now, as I've told you in times past, will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes, my.
And I read that and it was as straight as an arrow to my heart. And I put it down and I went to the bachelor party. Mm-hmm. And I did all the things I always did before, but it didn't feel the same. Inside, nobody else could tell, but I was having this conflicted struggle. I woke up the next morning, and it was a weekend, and I wanted to go to church. I'd been reading my Bible. I'd been having an experience like I'd never had before. And it was interesting because it was a church where the speakers always were more motivational than bringing deep conviction or speaking about sin or that sort of thing. But on this particular day, the message was, you cannot serve two masters. Mm. And I sat there in my chair listening to him say, you cannot serve Christ and the world. Mm. And I knew that the Lord Jesus had me sitting there to talk to me. The Lord Jesus was speaking to me personally.
Yes, he was.
And I began to weep in my chair, and I knew that I had to make a decision. And I said, Lord, if in order to have the joy that I have had in these last few weeks with you, I have to let go of this, then let it go. It's not worth it. And that experience, every step of the way, the Word of God just changed me. And it's been
amazing.
Beautiful ever since.
Jim, we've just got a couple of minutes, but revival for mission. Mm. You've an amazing personal conversion, but now you've devoted your whole life to helping other people experience mm-hmm. that change. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Share with us the joy you're finding in that journey.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you've been a pastor, even mm-hmm. an evangelism coordinator, mm-hmm. all that kind of thing. Now you're helping people grow. Mm-hmm. In the last few moments here, tell us how that all impacts how God is working in your life.
Well, it wasn't too long after that I began to feel the burden to start sharing things with other people. And sharing the Bible with others is a personal burden of mine. And to be frank, even for the church, I believe the greatest potential for growth in the church is just the simple act of lay members giving Bible studies to others.
Amen.
The truth is powerful. There's life in the Word, you know, and it doesn't come any other way. We can be kind to others and prepare their hearts, but ultimately it's the Bible that makes that type of impact. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life.
Mm. And just it did in your life.
That's exactly what happened to me. It created spiritual life in me, and I'm assured that it will create the same thing in other people too.
Amen. Jim, someone might be watching and saying, I think I've gone too far. I mean, it sounds like you were in a bad place. Mm. What would you say to that viewer?
Mm-hmm. I get that question a lot. And to be honest, it's so exciting to be able with full confidence to tell someone, look, if you have an honest heart, the issue is you need a revelation of Jesus Christ to your heart. And it is in the Word.
Amen.
It's living and powerful. If you just come to the Word and search, you will find Him. Amen. Search for Him with all your heart and you'll find Him.
Beautiful. Yeah. You've got some resources that can help people who want to share the Bible with others. And I'm sure someone's saying, I'd like to hear the rest of your testimony as well. So I just want to invite our viewers, you can go to revivalformission.tv and you can hear a more complete testimony that Jim has shared. You say, that's an amazing story. But there's also some resources, right?
Yeah.
That will
have
a link to a website where they can learn how to share with others?
That's exactly right. There'll be a couple of things at that reference that you've mentioned, and one of them will be grow.adventist.org. It's a website that just helps church members know how to share the Bible with others and has other valuable
resources. Extend the miracle that you've experienced in
your
own life.
By God's grace.
We'll be right back with more Revival for Mission after the break.
Join Pastor Ted Wilson as he travels around the globe visiting amazing places and meeting incredible people who are impacting their world for Jesus. From remote villages to bustling cities, mountains to deserts, ancient vistas to recent revitalization, you won't want to miss these special field episodes of Revival for Mission on the final Friday of each month, right here on Hope Channel.
We Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Pastor Wilson, so inspiring to hear Jim.
Absolutely.
How the Word of God impacted him. There are many ways that we can fill our minds with the Word of God. Let's talk about some of those.
You know, some people say, but I don't have time, or I don't like to read, or whatever it is. There are many apps you can get, or
put it on your phone.
You can put it on your phone. You can have it piped in through your car as you're driving. You can listen to it while you're, you know, working around the house or whatever it is. The Word of God is simply taking God's precious truth and fixing it in your mind. And it doesn't mean that you have to read a whole chapter or a whole book just in one sitting. You should read a portion. You should analyze it. You should understand it. You should say, now that can really help me today. And the Lord can use that in a powerful way.
When I was a young man, I heard the testimony of HMS Richard Sr. He read through the Bible 160 times during his life. And he was asked once, have you memorized it all? He said, I don't know if I could claim that, but if you read a text, I could tell you the text before it and the text after it. I guess that saturation of the Word enables the Holy Spirit to bring that to your mind.
And the Lord can implant in your mind His Word when you need it as well. And if you're not looking at the Word, you're not going to have those words that the Holy Spirit will then be able to bring back. You know, and some people might say, but why should I even read the Bible? I'm not really sure that God is real. Or you will find a practical explanation in the Bible as you read that God will become real to you. And that's a supernatural thing. I can't explain that. It's simply what happens. And God Himself, Daniel even answered in Daniel chapter 2, saying that God changes the times, the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. There is a God, and you can find Him in the Bible, and He can become personally connected with you as you discover Him.
I was thinking while you were sharing, I think it's Jeremiah who said, your word was found and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
Beautiful.
So an experience by taking time with the Word of God.
Absolutely. You know, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. What a marvelous opportunity to understand that the Word can truly mean something for us personally.
And find a translation that's reliable.
Absolutely.
And read it, listen to it, fill your heart with the Word of God.
Amen.
Share a closing thought with us.
Well, friends, I hope that today you have been encouraged to once again open the Word of God and discover what message He has for you today and every day. By taking time to read from God's Word, you will find your relationship with Him growing stronger and stronger, and your desire to learn even more increased every day. And you will not be disappointed. Stay close to Him. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Revival for Mission.